Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Adam and Eve. Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff to spice up the bedroom, it's even better. Right now, you can get yourself free shipping plus 50% off just about any item plus 10 free gifts. Just use code GHOST at checkout at adamandeve.com. Again, code GHOST at adamandeve.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it's open lines, your phone calls, and real ghost stories. And Jenny buys something used that she claims she would never, ever buy again. What is it? We find out today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. as well, and get your stories to us that way. Support our program, and you get yourself a whole bunch of extras for doing so, including a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook as well. Both are for sale on wherever books are sold, or Audible, or iTunes, whatever. Both about $15 a piece, but you get those for free when you become an EPP. For only $5. You also get new content added every single week. That's bonus content, exclusive EPP bonus episodes, new one every week, about 300 of them waiting for you to binge away on, as well as advanced episodes of the program, commercial free, all up there for you. For $5, keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com. / Real Ghost Stories, Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hi.
So you got something, you decided to buy something, and it was after you said you want it that it popped into my mind, and I said it off the air just when we wrapped up our other show. I said, it's probably haunted.
It's not.
Jenny decided to buy a mirror.
I did.
A used mirror.
I know.
Not one fresh off the factory that couldn't possibly
hell
have
froze over
demonic forces in it.
I bought one from a neighbor, mm-hmm. and it's a mirror that I have been wanting from an expensive store that I was not going to pay
the expensive store price.
Right.
Yeah.
So because they're moving and they're getting rid of stuff like crazy,
mm-hmm.
it was an unbelievable deal.
Okay. Say you bought the mirror and now demons are coming to you. They're starting to.
No. So anyway, it's not an old mirror because they haven't made them that long, but I'm excited.
It's a lot of stories where it wasn't an old house either.
It's not an old
house. I don't know why it's haunted. No, I'm not saying our house is haunted or that house is haunted. I'm just saying there's stories where things are new. And
well, you know what? If the mirror's fucking haunted, then I'm out what I paid for it. But I'm not out the big box store price.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not going to, you'll be okay if you, so you're totally cool if you get that mirror up and you look into it and the face looking back at you is you, but it's a different expression.
Then the mirror may have to be rehomed.
Just sell it to another, would you sell it to another neighbor if you knew it was haunted?
No, not if I knew it was haunted. I'd put it up on
like, you'd sell it to someone who's not a neighbor.
You'd Facebook Marketplace.
So it's not about like not getting it out there to the anyone, just anyone, but you wouldn't sell it to a neighbor.
I wouldn't. If it's haunted, no.
But you would sell it to someone else.
Yeah.
Someone who's not in the neighborhood.
Well, my fear is the neighbors are going to think we're weird anyway because of what we do. The last thing I need to do is also then sell them a haunted item and haunt their house. So, you know.
I think it'd be great if you really want to like press that button of we're weird. If in summer Harper doesn't do like a lemonade stand, Harper has like a haunted doll stand. She sells haunted dolls on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That'd be the cutest little stand just filled with like weird looking dolls. And this one's name is Stacy. And it's like, she's missing an arm. don't know why Harper suddenly talks like that.
No.
But she has like all these like just crazy stories that she tells. And they're not haunted. They're just like dolls she got like cheap somewhere. And
we're going to end up being the Addams Family.
Haunted dolls. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter this week, Adam and Eve. Free stuff. It's awesome, right? But free stuff. Spice up life in the bedroom, huh? A little bit better, huh? Go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off with code GHOST. You know how to spell GHOST, right? G-H-O-S-T. And then Adam and Eve loads on even more free stuff. Enter code GHOST at checkout, select one item, and you'll also get 10 free gifts. Sexy item for him, special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. And 6 free movies as well. Huh? Plus free shipping. Can't go wrong with that. 50% off just about any item plus 10 free gifts. We're all homebound right now. Why not? It's GHOST. Offer code GHOST. GHOST at checkout at adamandeve.com. Enter code GHOST. Get 50% off just about any item and all those free things I just talked about. Code GHOST at checkout, G-H-O-S-T at adamandeve.com. Support them. They're supporting our programming, helping to keep us on the air as well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony, Jenny, and Carol. This is Aaron in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm finally calling in to share some of my paranormal encounters with you. Although I've had many experiences here in Northwest Arkansas, I feel like I need to start at the very beginning with the first set of paranormal experiences I can remember. When I was a kid, my father was an officer in the Army, and it caused us to move around about every 2 years. And several of the places that we ended up living in were in Germany. In 1989, we were actually stationed in Bamberg, Germany. And this was during the height of Desert Storm. And while we were there, Saddam Hussein was sending terrorists across all of Europe to attack military bases. And our base actually had bomb threats on a regular basis. We were on severe lockdown, and we couldn't leave base without having our cars searched for bombs by bomb-sniffing dogs or having big mirrors on sticks run on the underside of our cars. We also had armed soldiers on every corner, and for 2 years, I was escorted to and from school by armed guards. Needless to say, that brought the atmosphere of the town back to that of World War II, with the constant worry and fear of bombing and being under attack. And I really think that's what helped cause a lot of the haunting experiences that we had there. When we lived in Bamberg, we actually lived in the same barracks that Hitler's officers lived in during World War II. The buildings that we lived in were a series of apartment complexes that were composed of concrete block and stucco. They had red tile roofs. They were 4 stories high with a basement floor, and they had centralized staircases that were accessible from the middle of either side of the building. In between each building were courtyards where a lot of the neighborhood kids could go and play in a grassy area, and it would be safe where parents could look out from their windows to see the kids playing. From the moment we moved into the building, nothing quite seemed right. You constantly felt as if you were being watched, especially when you were in the stairwell. It didn't take long before we noticed voices and whispers. It was a common occurrence to have your name called from another room, and when you'd go into the room to see who was calling your name, there would be nobody there. And often my parents heard their own names being called in each other's voices, and when they would go to find each other, nobody would be there. In this apartment, I started out with my own bedroom, but for some reason, unbeknownst to me, I could not sleep in that room. I constantly felt on edge, and like something was trying to get me out of there. Eventually, my parents bought a twin bed, and they ended up putting the mattress in my brother's room. My mattress was tucked in the corner in direct line of sight of the door up against a wall. It didn't take too long before I started feeling watched, like something was standing in the doorway staring at me. After a while, I started getting a clearer image in my mind's eye of what was standing in the doorway. When I closed my eyes, I could see the silhouette of a man. He was tall, over 6 feet tall, with sandy blonde hair, and he wore a green uniform. He had his arm propped up on the side of the door frame, and he would lean up against it and just glare. Every night, I would try to fall asleep, and this man would come, and he would glare at my brothers and I. It would take me forever to be able to fall asleep, and eventually I would pass out due to exhaustion. This was just the start. Soon we'd start to realize we'd hear women's voices, just below an audible whisper, and then sometimes it would raise to a loud cackle. You would especially hear them in the hallway. Along with the voices of the women, you would start to hear high heel shoes. You would hear them clicking against the stairs, all the way from the bottom of the staircase to the top floor. About a year after we moved there, my mom gave birth to my little sister. And within the next day or two of her giving birth, my dad was sent to field training for a month. So my grandmother and my mom's aunt, who lived in Germany, came to stay with us for a while. One night, when we were tucked in bed and they were up late, they started hearing loud laughter. It sounded like a party going on, music playing, furniture dragging across the floor, upstairs above them. At this point in time, the people who lived above us on the top floor were both out of town. Andy was sent to Saudi Arabia, and his wife Laura was pregnant, so she went back to the States to give birth to her baby. My parents had the only key to their apartment. After the party had been going on for what seemed like a while, my grandmother asked my mom to go upstairs and to tell the neighbors to be quiet because we were all sleeping. My mom had to explain to my grandmother that it was impossible, that nobody was there, and that she had the only key to the apartment. Because the noise kept on for quite some time, they ended up calling the military police just to be sure that nobody was there. My mom, grandma, and my Aunt Edith went upstairs with the police, and before the police officer opened up the door, my mom had to explain to him that she didn't think they would find anything. They opened up the door, and sure enough, everything was pitch black. The furniture was covered with cloths, and nobody was there. There was no way to escape from the floor because there wasn't a fire escape or a balcony, and the only way down from the top floor was through the centralized staircase that they were standing on. The MPs searched the apartment, looked under beds and through closets, but they couldn't find anyone. After the police gave a thorough search, they locked up the doors and went downstairs, and when they left, within 5 minutes, the party started again. Shortly after that experience, I had one of my own that I will never forget. There was a little boy that lived on the first floor named Scott, and he and I used to play outside in the courtyard often together. One day we were outside playing, and we had been out there for quite some time, and I don't even remember what we were playing, but it was probably war or army or something of the sort. But out of nowhere, Scott completely changed. His mannerisms changed, even the way he talked and the way he sounded. He went from sounding like a little boy to that of a man trying to talk to a child to explain something very serious to them. He grabbed me by the arms and he looked me straight in the eye and very intensely started telling me about all the bad people that were around us and how good people, like myself, were taken away and they could never come back. He shook me to make sure that I was listening to him and then looked at me again and told me that I had to run. I had to run home and I couldn't stop for anything or anyone. And when I got home, I had to hide somewhere so safe that nobody can find me. Because if they came for me and if they found me, they would take me and I could never come back. Somehow I instinctually knew what Scott was saying. I don't know why. I didn't know anything about Nazi Germany at that point in time in my life. But I knew he was serious. Or whoever was talking through him was serious. I sprinted home as fast as I could, flew past my mom, and I hid. And I think it took me a few hours before I would finally come out of my hiding spot. In hindsight, I think Scott was possessed by a German ghost, somebody who's trying to protect me, trying to keep me safe. Although I'm not Jewish, my maiden name is. And because of that, I think that's where the connection came from. It wasn't much longer after that experience that my dad was reassigned and we were moving back to the States. Before we left, my dad went to the housing commissioner and tried to explain the various experiences we were having in our apartment building. The commissioner just laughed at him, not because they didn't believe him, but because apparently our hauntings weren't that severe. Out of a cluster of buildings that they had, several of them were so haunted that items would fly across the room and smash into the walls, and people were being attacked and couldn't physically stay in the building. In that case, we were extremely lucky compared to some people. These were just a few of the many experiences that we had while living in Germany. And I truly think because of these encounters, it's what set the course for a truly paranormal life. Thank you so much for giving us the time and space to share our encounters with everyone. I greatly appreciate what you've done, and I look forward to sharing many more stories in the future. Thank you.
I want to hear more.
I do too.
I want to hear more about what's haunting this area.
Yeah.
Because she's from the area.
Right.
And yeah. What do you think of the story?
I think I would not want to know where I was living if I would not want to know that that's where Nazi soldiers were living.
No,
that would freak me out.
It's not really a selling point.
No, but I mean, I get they had to use what they had to use.
Sure.
But good grief.
Yeah.
And then the little boy being possessed. That's terrifying.
That's quite an experience. I didn't know what I was not expecting that story.
Mm-mm.
She had been saying she was going to send stories in for a while, and she never alluded to this. So it's great. I want to hear more.
Yeah.
So we actually, over the weekend, we ran into her at Target, or she ran into us at Target.
Oh, is that the same?
Yes.
Okay.
We were at Target, and somebody, we were back by the patio furniture, and all of a sudden somebody came up to us. Excuse me, are you Tony and Jenny Brewski? And I immediately said, no, they just ran that way.
No, you didn't.
No.
That was cool because that was my first time ever being recognized in public.
Yeah.
Other than like at the live show when everybody's expecting to see you, but just randomly.
At the Target.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was really neat.
Which is, I don't know if we can, because we're in Walmart country and we were in the Target. That's probably somewhat blasphemous.
I know.
Me. But anyway, but yes, it was fun. I think the last time I don't know, I think it was a gas station I was at randomly. Mm-hmm. Somebody came up to me, and that's always kind of, you know, interesting at a gas station. I don't know, because Target seems safer to run into people. I don't know. Maybe it's just the atmosphere of where you're at. But I ran into somebody at a gas station once. Mm-hmm. I was with Harp, and they're like, Tony Brewski? Like, yeah. And like, oh, okay. Then something. Yeah. But friendly, nice.
Yeah.
It's just, it's unexpected when I'm, you know, picking up my flaming hot Cheetos or something.
I think it's cool.
It's great.
I like meeting our listeners. So
yeah,
that's really neat.
I do too. We should probably discuss at some point, and we have no announcement to make at this moment whatsoever, but doing another live show at some point somewhere.
Yeah.
In the remotely near future.
I know why I want to do it.
Where?
I want to go to Austin. I want to do one in Austin.
That'd be fun. Keep in mind, anywhere we go, we have to drive there.
I know.
So we have to take equipment and such, because that would be a pain to fly it.
Right, right.
So
that's drivable.
Yeah, it's drivable. I could see that. Mm-hmm. We talked about this one. Maybe a couple Texas cities or something. We'll do the Real Ghost Stories Online Texas Tour. And the whole time you have to say it like that. Texas Tour. The Real Ghost Stories Online Texas Tour.
I'm not going to say it like that.
New York City?
That's stupid.
It'll be sponsored by Pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Real Ghost Stories Online Pace Texas Tour. Pace Picante Sauce.
Yeah, they're not going to sponsor anything.
Pick up the pace.
Remember that was their slogan? Mm-hmm.
I saw that commercial the other day.
Yeah.
And like somebody was putting it on YouTube, but it's like, I remember that. That was pick up the pace. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, to yours.
Hi, everybody, and hello, Tony. This is Darren. And before I start this story, I want to predicate that I am a hospice volunteer, just a volunteer. I've done it for 5 years. So I have seen the very thin veil between this life and the next life, and I have seen it through all of the patients that I have either witnessed dying, I have heard of dying, or seen them right before they pass, and they tell of things of what I'm about to tell you. This, for some, will be paranormal. For me, it's spiritual. And I also want to tell you, I'm an EPP of the Grave Talks and of Ghost Stories Online, and I love what you're doing, and I love both shows, so keep up the good work. My story takes place, and it is the most profound, most life-changing experience that I have encountered as a hospice volunteer. We had a resident, we call them residents, not patients, who was in the process of transitioning. When you're in the process of transitioning, your body is beginning the process of shutting down. You stop eating. In some cases, people don't even talk. They're in a comatose-ish kind of state, with hearing being always the last thing to go. This resident was shutting down. She wasn't talking. She wasn't eating, obviously. And her eyes were closed for the majority. And we would come in as volunteers. We would hold her hand and talk to her, even though there was no response. Again, hearing is the last thing to go. So we would hold hands with her, talk to her, ask her, you know, just tell her how our day was, or reminisce on stories that, in fact, she had told us during her time there. And this particular resident had been with us for about 2 months before she transitioned. So while this is going on, the process of her body shutting down, I was in the room. But I needed to leave and check on other patients that we had. There were about 5 volunteers at the time on a particular shift. So it was myself and 4 others. I came back to the room after checking on other residents, and I stopped cold in my tracks in the doorway to witness that 15 minutes ago, this resident was not sitting up, did not have her eyes open, and was not communicating. 15 minutes later, I'm standing in the doorway. She is now sitting up in bed, having full-blown conversations with what we perceived as people she saw. Now, these were people that only she saw. To the volunteers, to my initially, there was no one in the room. And throughout this whole process, there was never anyone in the room. As I'm standing there, I see her call out to someone in the room, only on the right side of the bed. She called out and she said, "Oh my God, I have not seen you in so long. How have you been?" She was 60 years old. She held out her hands as welcoming a dear friend that she hasn't seen in a long time. I'm standing there in amazement, not because she's seeing people that have passed on who are now coming to help her pass on. That's not the reason. I'm doing this because she has been and had been non-reactive for a week, And then within 15 minutes, she's starting to welcome people. So I knew that she was getting ready to transition. But wait, this story is about to get even more intense. I didn't know who the first person, as I'm standing in the doorway, I didn't know who the first person was that she saw. But the second person was her husband. So she gasped. She went, and she covered her mouth. And forgive me if I get emotional in this story. She gasped, and she covered her mouth. And she said, "I have been waiting for you." And she opened her arms, leaned forward, and hugged, again from my vantage point, what was air. But you could see the intensity in the hug as she was hugging her husband, again, who was not in the room. I want to say there was never anyone in the room during this whole entire process. So if you're just now joining into this story, you need to go back and realize there was never anyone in this room. So as this is happening, another volunteer walked by. I grabbed the volunteer and I said, "Go get all the volunteers that are here." And she did. We all stood in the doorway and watched this transaction take place. This wonderful welcoming take place. So she hugged her husband for, I would say, a good 2 minutes. And each person that came through in this time period before her transition lasted a minute or two. It wasn't very long. But to her, I assume, and from what I was seeing, that it was enough time for a great hello and a great, "Oh, wow, good to see you." Now, when I get ready to transition, I'm assuming I'm going to have a bunch of people come and see me. But never did I imagine that a schoolmate would come. She had a schoolmate who came and was from elementary school. She said, again to the air in the room, "I haven't seen you since elementary school." And she reached out her hand and she hugged. She pulled them close and she hugged. And every time she hugged someone, you could see the intensity in her arms. You saw her head tilt to the side as though it was being placed on her shoulder, and she would hug them. So this went on. Maybe three more people, I would say, came through, and she welcomed them. And she would periodically look around the room as though they were still standing there. Now, a lot of doctors and scientists, especially some of the nurses, would say, "Oh, you know, this is just medication, or it's just hallucinations." I vehemently deny, and I do not accept any of that. I do not accept that, because I cannot understand why so many different walks of life, why so many different people who've never met, who spend their last days in hospice, typically see the same thing and or see some type of, whether it's an angel or a loved one comes through, it's not a hallucination. So I do not accept that. So this one, she's welcoming people, and she would stop and she would look around the room, and from what I could picture in my head as this is happening, they're still standing there. Well, there was one person, and this is where I get emotional, and I am going to apologize ahead of time. There was one person in the room who she did not know. And she looked at this person and she said, "I don't recognize you. Can you come closer?" And she would let out a little chuckle. And then she would say, "No, I can't see you. There's so much light around. Come closer." And she said, "Okay, well, I know you're a man, but I still can't see your face. So I don't know who you are." She was excited. about who the possibility of this person could be. But they were surrounded by so much light, she could not make out a clear face. So with both of her hands, she said, "Now you come here. Come closer. I must see you." This person came closer. And we're standing in the doorway watching this. There's five of us in the doorway. And we make a magnificent transition. She said to him, "Now I said to you, come closer. I can't see your face." The gentleman came close. She gasped. She reached out her hand and she touched his face. And to us, she's touching air, but she delicately touched his face and she said, "Jesus, I know you." And then she looked around the room, and this is where I assume, and I'm sorry everybody, I get emotional. This is where I assume that everyone who came through to guide her home or to the other side, whatever you want to call it, was still there, because she looked around the room and she said, "Jesus has come to take me home." And she said, "Okay, everybody, let's go." She was sitting up in bed. She laid down with the biggest smile on her face. All of the volunteers, including myself, as you can imagine, I am not dealing well with it right now. I'm tearing up and crying in a parking lot. But we were all crying. She laid down with a smile on her face, and she passed away. She died.
And that's the end. Because it hit the 12-minute mark, and that's how long it goes. And thank God he hit it, like, on the dot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been like, what? What happened? So, I think we got the gist of the...
Yeah. What an amazing experience to witness that.
That, I think, would be a very difficult job to have, to see that day in and day out. I think it would, you know, if you're wanting confirmation on paranormal things happening or people getting visits from deceased loved ones, that would be the job to have.
Yeah.
If that's what you're seeking out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be quite an experience. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.